But because it is Thanksgiving on Thursday, you know, Canadian Thanksgiving is the second Monday of October, Columbus Day. It's kind of fun being a Canadian in an American family because it gives us an excuse to celebrate a lot of things twice. We get to celebrate July 1st and July 4th. We get to celebrate Thanksgiving twice. We get to celebrate Christmas twice. No, not really. Though Boxing Day, December 26th, is a holiday in Canada. Was the day that the servants would celebrate Christmas because everybody in Canada has servants. Yeah. I want to talk about Thanksgiving or thankfulness. And realize that today as we talk about these things, that Thanksgiving or thankfulness, we're going to use these words interchangeably. When you really think about the word Thanksgiving, think about it. When we're thankful for what we have, we are more apt to give of what we have. You ever notice that? Think about people that you've met that are givers. Giving people are usually very thankful people. And oftentimes the people who aren't so apt to give, people maybe who hoard or are a little more stingy, oftentimes will complain about what they don't have. There's never enough. There's never enough. You know, and there are times when sometimes the most thankful people that you meet don't have very much. But they're thankful for what they have. It doesn't really make a difference if you're rich or poor, or if you have a lot or you don't. A lot of it has to do with your attitude in the midst of that. I've met poor people who love money, and Jesus said the love of money is the root of all evil, and poor people who don't love money and who are generous people, and folks who have a lot who aren't very not very willing to part with what they have. They love their money, and other people who have a lot of money that don't love and can't give it away fast enough. And so it's really about your attitude, not necessarily about where you are on the economic scale. Is there an economic scale? I'm just glad fuel is a lot cheaper. It's kind of like, for now. Thank you, OPEC. Has anybody invented a car that runs on water yet? Can we do that? Can we? Anyway, that's fine. Yeah, it sounds like a good idea to me. Or thankfulness is not a feeling. Rats. Because it's not. Sometimes we wait to show our thankfulness until we feel like it. The problem with that is we often don't feel like it. That's how the enemy works. Somehow we buy into this thing that we don't show love unless we feel like it. We don't show thankfulness unless we feel like it. We don't give unless we feel like it. And I guarantee you, if you wait till you feel like it, the enemy will see to it that you never feel like it. Thankfulness is not a feeling. We're going to talk about what it is in just a little bit. Let's talk a little bit of the power of thankfulness and the power of a thankful heart. Since Thanksgiving is coming up, let's talk about it. Here's a few blanks you can fill in. What is thankfulness if it's not a feeling then? Well, thankfulness is a choice, and thankfulness is an action, not a feeling. Thankfulness is a choice. Thankfulness is an action, not a feeling. Read some scripture. Hebrews 13. 15 through 16 says this, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. You know, interesting thing, through Jesus, we are to continually offer a sacrifice of praise. The idea of offering a sacrifice is sometimes it takes some effort. Sometimes it requires us to do something that we don't feel like doing. But we are to continually offer to through Jesus a sacrifice of praise. And the fruit of lips that confess his name. What does that mean? You know, a fruit is produced in a tree when the tree is nurtured. And so what the writer is kind of telling us here is that when you confess the name of Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ is living in you as your Lord and as your Savior, this should simply be the product of your relationship with God. The willingness to offer the sacrifice of praise, to praise God, to be thankful. It's not based on how we feel. It's based on what God grows in us when we give our lives to Him, and it's based on the decision that we make to continually offer praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name. Paul writes to the church in Thessalonica. So isn't that a great place name? Gordon's easier to spell, but anyway. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Or if some of you recognize the from the Old King James Version, pray without ceasing. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, it's not easy to get around this, okay? You've got be joyful always. Do I have to? Yes. Pray continually. Do I have to? Yes. Give thanks in all circumstances. Do I have to? Yes. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. These three things. Here's a three-point sermon right there. I can just pray and let you go home. Do that. No. I mean, you know, it's not always easy to do. Because we have a tendency to focus on the negative things, right? We have a tendency to capitalize on those things that are bad. The enemy likes to blow those things up, you know, and oftentimes we deal with impending disasters, we deal with fear, we deal with worry, we deal with struggles in life, and sometimes there are some very, very negative things going on in our life. But when you really stop for a minute and think and get some perspective, for every annoying thing that's going on, we can probably easily think of 5 to 10 things that we can still thank God for. Oftentimes, it could be a lot worse. And many times, there are still a lot of things going on that are good. And it's important to keep those in perspective because your attitude about that can affect some real change. And we'll talk about that in just a few minutes. But you know, we have a mandate. This is God's will for you. You want to know what God's will for you is? More importantly than where your job is or where you go, to be joyful, to stay connected with Him and pray, and give thanks all the time. That's God's will for you. Isn't it more complicated than that? Not really. Not really. Because, let's go to the second point. Thankfulness is not, or should not at least, be based on your present circumstances. Because you know, if we allowed our thankfulness to always be based on our present circumstances, then we would forget to be thankful for the things that we should be thankful for, and instead we'd be focused on all the annoying stuff that's going on in our life right now. And then that affects our attitude, and then that affects a lot of stuff. It's kind of a downward spiral. And so David, for example, and here's some scriptures that I've read in the past before, but Psalm 103 is a great example of David reminding himself to praise God, even when he didn't necessarily feel like it himself. Psalm 103, we'll just read the first few verses here. I think we got it all on there. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. He's commanding his soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Get in gear, spirit. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not. Don't forget all his benefits, all of those things he's done. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. He is making a list. He's beginning to compose a list of the blessings that God has bestowed on him so as not to be discouraged by whoever it was that was trying to kill him at the time, whatever enemies were chasing him down. A lot of the Psalms he wrote in caves running from King Saul. Because Saul was jealous. He knew that God had chosen David to replace him. And Saul was determined to take David out. And there were times when David was probably well within his rights to have a bad day. You know, when somebody's trying to kill you, it makes you a little crabby. Have any of you ever experienced that? I don't know if we ever have to deal with that very often. But that kind of makes you a little bit ouchy, right? You know, somebody's out to get you. You know, we wake up and we're having a bad hair day and we think life is terrible. My hair won't work. My coffee tasted wrong. Oh, life is hard. No. The reality is, many times we have a tendency to respond more negatively to those little small things that don't matter. The enemy loves to use the little things, the toe stubbing, the crabby boss at work. My father-in-law often said, you know, you've heard it said, some days you wake up crabby, other times you just let her sleep. Sorry. In my family, guess who the crabby one is? Yeah. Sometimes Laura wakes up crabby, sometimes she lets me sleep. Yeah. No. I'll let you think about that. All right. Go back to Psalm 103. Here is the psalmist doing the same thing. This is the one that April read for us at the beginning. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Why do they keep repeating that? Talk about repetitiveness. Man, they wanted to get the point across. What do you think the point was? His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders. His love endures forever. Who by his understanding made the heavens. His love endures forever. And you go on and you go on. In fact, she didn't even read the whole psalm. I took some of the middle out because I knew we'd be here forever. But because his love endures that long. Okay, anyway. You know, the idea is when you allow your present circumstances to dictate your joy, when you allow your present circumstances to dictate your thankfulness, when you allow your present circumstances to dictate these things to you, this is where Satan is got it. He's got it wrapped up. He knows what to do to get you bent out of shape. And when you're bent out of shape, you can't hear from God. The Holy Spirit can't talk to you because you got this big wall of I don't even know how to spell that. Just this big wall of just, you know, how you show the little cartoons. Charlie Brown, you know, whenever Charlie Brown would get annoyed and they draw a little scribble above his head. I mean, has he ever done that? Is that how you feel? You walk around life and you get a big scribble above your head. You know, it's like, good grief. And when you're like that, you're blocked. You know, God can't really get through to you because he's trying to talk and with the still small voice, and you're too busy listening to your own grumpy in your own noggin. You know, it's well, we've already established, according to Scripture, that thankfulness is not optional. Did I lose my pointer? Oh, there it is. Okay, good. According to Scripture, thankfulness is not optional. We can read in Philippians chapter 4, 6 through 7. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's funny how, you know, Scripture will say things. Do not be anxious about anything. There's really no exception there. But somebody has to worry. Somebody has to be responsible. The reality is an anxious heart and a worried heart is one that is unaware they have a God that wants to take care of the situation. And Paul says to fight against this, you need to go to the Lord in prayer and thank him ahead of time for what he's going to do if you want the peace of God to guard your hearts. I'll pick on Bruce because Bruce is here behind Joe. So Bruce has been saying to me, yeah, we need to have you guys over for lunch. That'd be great. So let's say, Joe, you know, we finally make it work where we get to go over to your house and we have dinner. All right? And Joe says, why don't you come over Tuesday night? And I say to Joe, that's great. Not Joe, Bruce. I mean, I'm sorry. I was picking on Bruce, not Joe. Anyway, so I say to Bruce and Marcia, that'll be great, but what are you having? And Bruce would be like, I don't know. Lasagna? What kind of lasagna? Well, the kind with cheese and meat. Good, because I don't want vegetarian lasagna. What are you having for dessert? Well, cherry cheesecake. Well, I don't like cherries. Okay. Cheesecake. Okay, great. That'll be good. So lasagna, cheesecake. That's fine. Okay, I'll come over to your house. Tell you what. Look, we'll eat it. If we don't get sick afterwards, we'll thank you for it. Now, if this was the kind of attitude that I approached Bruce and Marcia with, if they were inviting me over for dinner, how many invitations do you think I would get? Yeah. So the reality is, when somebody invites you over for dinner, what do you usually say? Well, thank you. That's very kind of you. And you don't even know what they're having yet. What if you don't like it? You know, see, there's a thankfulness there. When somebody offers to give you something, your tendency is to respond with thanks. As a small comparison, but you see, there is so much that God has promised to offer us, so much that he desires to offer us, that we need to get into an attitude of thankfulness ahead of time for what he's already said he's going to do. But instead, we approach God like an ungrateful person. Well, I don't know if I want that or not. Or is it got spinach in it? You know, I mean, you know, with God, he wants to do all these things. And he says, if you really want to release my power in your life, ask me to do what I want to do with thankfulness so I can do it. Thankfulness is not optional. And it really begins to work. Because when you're able to present your request to God with thanksgiving, God is able to guard your heart and your mind with peace that passes or transcends all understanding. I think my battery's running out here. Boom, there we go. Whoa, okay. Go back to this again. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Not optional. Now here's the thing that I think is probably really the most important point as far as the crux of the matter is concerned. Thankfulness is an important attitude. Go ahead and hit the arrow. I think I'm losing power. There we go. It's an important attitude that can actually change, it can actually affect and change things in the spiritual realm. Believe it or not, which can in turn have an effect on our outcome, on what goes on around us. So the reason I'm sharing this is because we're talking about spiritual warfare here. If your attitude actually can have an effect, can actually change your circumstances because of what's going on in the spiritual realm, can actually affect your outcome. And this isn't, it's not even that this is a theological argument. You know, you can read about stories in Reader's Digest from a purely worldly perspective of people that had a change in attitude, and when their attitude changed, their outcome changed. This is a spiritual law. See, if the enemy can use the little things to keep you from being thankful, if the enemy can use the small things to keep you grumpy, and your attitude is the little scribbly line over your head, then you're not going to affect or change anything in your circumstances. But the reality is, when you choose a different attitude, when you choose to be thankful, when you cast aside the way that you feel, and you choose to be thankful in spite of your present circumstances, you realize that thankfulness is not an option because your survival depends on your attitude in this world. Because the enemy's coming for you, and if your attitude stinks, you have got a big target painted on your forehead that says, Satan, come and get me. Go back to Philippians 4. We already read, do not be anxious about anything, and the prayer and petition and thanksgiving and peace. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Why is that important? Because you choose what you're going to focus on. You choose your focus. Now, how easy is it to focus on the negative in this world? Fairly easy, right? I mean, we're surrounded by it. We work with it. Sometimes we are it. We should not be it. If you can't think of the person at work who's really the person that's the negative person, it might be you, and you better do some, you know. Anyway, I think it was Pastor Rick Warren that calls those people ERGs, extra grace required. If you can't think of people in your life who are extra grace required, it might be you. No, anyway. The fact is that our attitude affects people, their attitude affects us. And so we have got to choose our attitude ahead of time so that we can actually affect and change our environment. And here Paul is telling us, you know what, if you want your attitude to be right, you've got to choose to focus on things that are going to build you up. The true things, the noble things, the pure things, the lovely things. You might have to turn off the news and put down the newspaper, listen to some uplifting music, get your Bible out, do something that's going to lift you up and change your attitude. Luke 11:34. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, if the eye is good, your whole body is full of light. This is talking about what you focus on. But when your eye is bad, your body is also full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. Meaning, what are you focusing on? If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light. As when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light. If all you ever focus on is good stuff, should you be surprised if your life reflects that? If your attitude reflects that? If all you ever focus on is negativity? You know, sometimes I get on some of my college students because they like these sort of artsy, angst-ridden movies, you know, movies about real life and gritty. And I'm like, you know what? You watch that stuff, it's going to eat you up. Because that might be reality, but that's not the reality that God has chosen for you. Your reality is not to be an angst-ridden, you know, Hollywood fest of people going through life, existing, and philosophizing about the ridiculousness of, yeah, I mean, those movies drive me crazy. I like those movies that lift you up. Because God wants you to be lifted up. And there are a lot of entertainment that will drag you down, and it will stymie you and get you stuck in a place that you don't need to be. There are books like that. There's media like that. There's stuff like that. It's just better to focus on things that are going to build you up. Why would I want to build something and then go look at something that's going to chip away at that? In essence, and let me try to say this in a way that isn't off base theologically. In essence, God really can't work with an unthankful heart. Yes, God can do anything, but when it comes to your heart, if your heart is unthankful, God's not going to be able to do much with that because you're not really giving it to him. There's not really a whole lot God can do in you or for you if you're an unthankful person, which is why the first point was so true, that thankfulness is a choice and an action, not a feeling. Last verse. I gave you a different picture. Parable of the Sower, Mark 4. Jesus talks about seeds falling among the thorns growing up and choking the plant, and then it yields no crop. This is a description of so many people in the modern church. We have living plants that are choked and ineffective. You go to verse 18, he explains it. These are the ones sown among the thorns. They're the ones that hear the word, and what happens? The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things enters in and chokes the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Why do I bring this out? Because when we're not thankful for what we have, we get wrapped up in the cares of the world. We get wrapped up in chasing after riches. We get wrapped up in desiring other things, and we're like a plant that is choked and unfruitful because of our lack of thankfulness, we're pursuing everything else that we don't really need. A while back, Laura and I sang a song, "This World Has Nothing For Me, and This World Has Everything. All that I could want and nothing that I need." If we're truly going to learn to be thankful people, we've got to decide to look at the things that God has done. We've got to decide to focus on the things that are noble and pure and excellent and praiseworthy. Because when we do that, we open ourselves up to God being able to work in our life and to really affect the outcome of things going on around us. If a thankful attitude is going to help me get through a negative situation, I've got to learn to focus on what's positive so that God can lift me out of the negative situation. I need to build a wall between me and the enemy. I can't allow myself to get into that good grief mentality and focus on everything that I'm annoyed about and everything that's bothering me and everything that's bad in the world. That's simply going to lead to destruction. Let's stand together and pray. And then we'll let you get out there this week and begin to explore what it means to be a thankful person with a thankful heart. Thank you, Lord, that we have so much to be thankful for. The enemy would have us believe otherwise. The enemy would have us focus on negative circumstances. The enemy would have us focus on tragedy. The enemy would have us focus on those things that we're afraid are going to happen but probably never will. But when we simply think about your grace, your love, how you reach out to each one of us, how you've offered salvation, how you've offered freedom, how you've offered the depth of that relationship that you desire to have with each of us, we, like David, begin to make a list of things that we can be thankful for. Even simple things, like those friends and those family who are near to us, that you have so faithfully bestowed and given. Father, help us as we go through this week to cast aside the ungrateful, unthankful attitudes that are so easy for us to take upon ourselves, and instead we choose to focus on those things that are pure and admirable and praiseworthy. And we choose to focus on those things that we know you've done for us. And as we do that faithfully, Lord, I know that we'll begin to watch as you begin to work in our circumstances and change things, because our attitude has been changed and affected by you. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I look at the person next to you and say, I don't care how unthankful you are, you need to change your attitude. You tell those people. Thanks so much today, everybody. Have a great Thanksgiving.